You're listening to the Black Eagles podcast.
Ortayı yaptı. Sekti. Gol! 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 Maç boyunca durdu, şimdi attı. Aboubakar attı. Aboubakar, Aboubakar, Aboubakar.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Black Eagles podcast. In today's episode, we will be previewing one of Beşiktaş's opponents in the UEFA Europa Conference League, being FC Lugano from Switzerland. And joining me for that is my special guest, Oliver Zeisiger, who's been on the show before talking about El Neni back then and his time at FC Basel. He's, of course, a Swiss football expert. He has been working on the database for Football Manager for many years, where I believe he's been scouting players for the Swiss division and the Swiss national team and all that kind of stuff. He also works for Transfer Market. But recently he has started a new job and has become a sports coordinator at FC Biel, or Bien, depending on whether you speak German or French. So Oliver, welcome back to the podcast. It's been a long time. Glad to have you back. And thank you for taking time to give us a little bit more information and insights on Lugano.
Hi, Carl. Thank you very much for that great introduction. I'm happy to be back on the podcast.
Well, let's start and talk a little bit about you before we delve into FC Lugano. What have you been up to? So you're a sports coordinator now. What does that exactly mean?
It is basically a role. So FC Biel is in a club partnership with Clermont Foot in Ligue 1 and Austria Lustenau in Austria. And sports coordinator means that I coordinate stuff between the three clubs, but I'm mainly also doing the job of sports or director of football for FC Biel. I'm on the ground for the players if they have problems, if we need to organize something. And then I do the recruitment, contract talks and everything. So it is a very multifaceted role, very interesting role, and there's always something to do.
Oh, undoubtedly, that sounds like a very good job to get, really. And did you kind of roll into this? Because you're a scout, really. You've been working on the data, I should say, for Football Manager, which, you know, I haven't played Football Manager in a very long time. But if there's one thing I love about Football Manager, it's how well researched the data is on players. And of course, you know, you can't always get everything right, and sometimes you have these massive talents that in the game that never really pan out in real life. But that's how it works in real life as well, right? You have these really hot talents in the academy, and everyone thinks they're going to be the next big thing. It doesn't happen. But I'm a huge fan of what people at I guess Sega it is nowadays. I played back in the day when it was still Championship Manager and stuff, but that's the kind of stuff you do, and I find that very fascinating. So how did you exactly end up being a sports coordinator?
Yeah, I was a scout for Lausanne Sport in the Swiss first and second division for 3 years. Then I worked for an agency, and it's just progress, I believe. So first off, I was in the sports committee at FC Biel since last December. And then there was a change this summer, and obviously I was born in Biel, I still live in Biel, and they came to me and asked me if I wanted to do it, then I said yes. So it is progress for me, and so I was already in the structure but not in this role, and then I was promoted to this role in July.
Well, that's awesome. So the next step up in the ladder. And what do you do for Transfermarkt exactly? You're a regional manager, I saw in your bio, but I don't really know what that entails.
Exactly. I'm the I'm an area manager for Switzerland, which means I take care of the data scouting team. I do a lot of news and content for the .ch site and some internal stuff. Also take care of corrections. We recently also acquired some new data scouts to soften a bit the workload for the others. And yeah, it's a very diverse and very fun role at Transfermarkt.
All right, that's really interesting as well. So we definitely have an expert on our hands here. Let's go over to our opponents in the Conference League, which is FC Lugano, founded in 1908. They did have a bankruptcy in the 2000s and reformed into AC Lugano and then renamed again to FC Lugano. So the interesting part of this is that Lugano is in kind of the minority in Switzerland, where they speak Italian, right?
That's correct.
So that's where the AC Lugano came from then.
Yeah, yeah. They are in the Italian-speaking part, the so-called Ticino, the canton of Ticino. And one of two professional teams speaking mainly Italian.
Oh, that's very cool. Do they also have a lot of Italian players and stuff like that? Do they have a history of getting maybe some older Italian stars or something like that?
Yeah, there were some older Italian players back in the day. They still have one or two Italian-born players, or three or four, in the squad today. But they're now majority owned by Joe Mansueto, who is also the owner of Chicago Fire. Hmm. And it is mostly organized from the Chicago structure, which means Lugano has a sporting director, but for example, the scouting is mostly done by Chicago, and there are some players that will join Lugano maybe with a view on Chicago, or in the other case, that's Ignacio Aliseda, for example. He joined Lugano from Chicago because he couldn't adapt to the life in the US, and so. Yeah, they have a multi-club structure as well in place, and that's maybe one of the reasons why there are less Italians than there were before. But in general, yes, it's a heavily Italian-influenced club.
Okay, but it's like you have very different ethos, I should say, when you have these multi-club structures. Like some of them are really just set up to make a profit, so it's not like they use Lugano as a launching pad for their talents in Europe or something, and then to make a decent amount on them, so to speak. It's not like that, right?
No, they treat both clubs more or less equally. Hmm. I mean, Chicago Fire obviously is a big club in MLS and everything, mm-hmm. but Lugano is a traditional and a decently sized club in Switzerland as well. So they treat both clubs rather at the same level, which is interesting when it comes to players and stuff. I mentioned mm-hmm. Alizeta already because he's a very good player, and we'll see what the future brings. I think that some of the talents might go to Chicago later on. I cannot say that right now. There was one player who's on loan, or two players on loan at Chicago from Lugano. One is Marin Haile Selassie, and the other one is Usman Dumbia.
It's a shame they didn't get Wayne Rooney then, when he was still playing. He was playing for Chicago Fire, right?
Was he? Wasn't he for Washington?
No, I thought it was Chicago Fire. But I might be mistaken.
I didn't really follow the latter parts of Wayne Rooney's career, so
yeah, me neither. Just peripherally, I noticed a couple of bangers he scored, and I was a little bit surprised at how early he retired. I thought he was going to keep going for a while, but
he was at DC United.
Oh, DC United, right, right, yeah. Right, right. Okay, fair enough. My old brain mixing stuff up again. when we talk about their European adventures, most recently they've been in the last, including this one, the last two editions of the Conference League, which is only 3 years old. So they've been in 75% of all the Conference League, the Conference Leagues, I should say. So how did they perform last season in the Conference League?
They didn't. They failed to qualify for the group stage. So that was rather disappointing, I have to say. I have to look up which opponent they failed to qualify for, with.
Okay. Well.
Sorry. No, yeah, Beersheba.
Oh, we have met them in the past, Hapoel Beersheba. Not an easy opponent. They definitely gave us. I wouldn't say we beat them twice, but it wasn't necessarily easy. So Israeli teams can be really tricky sometimes, especially when you, depending on when you meet them as well. Other than that, Lugano have they been in Europe in recent years, or was that the first time they stuck the nose at the window in recent history? Of course, because they have a rich history. They've been Swiss champions three times, but that was all before you and I were even born in the 1930s and 40s. So. Have they been in Europe in recent, let's say, the last 10 years or so?
Yeah, they have. At least once, I remember, they qualified for a group stage. Was it in 1920?
Yes, exactly. 2020, right?
Yes,
2019. Yeah, okay. Sorry.
They qualified for the Europa League group stage and met Copenhagen, Dynamo Kiev, and Malmö.
Oh, Dynamo Kiev, our favorite European opponents. I think that's the team Besiktas have faced most in Europe.
Okay.
We've just played them for the 11th and 12th time. So it's a lot to meet each other in Europe, I would say, especially for clubs like that.
I mean that's quite quite a number of games. And funnily enough, in the season 2017-2018, they were qualified for the Europa League group stages as well. They played against FCSB, Victoria Pilsen, and the aforementioned Hapoel Beersheba.
Okay, so they have some new opponents in Europe this year then that they haven't really placed yet, because Besiktas and Lugano have never played in an official capacity, so that'll be a first. So we talked about their history briefly, their European record. They won the cup in 2022, so they've definitely been doing decently back-to-back qualifications for Europe. And as you mentioned, in 2019 they qualified for Europe, and then in 17 they qualified for Europe. So they've been doing decently in the Swiss League, I would imagine, right, in the last couple of years?
Yeah, actually they did quite well. I mean, they finished third last season. As you mentioned, they won the cup. They were the cup final last year. And yeah, you can see that now, first of all, the club is financially stable. It wasn't stable for like decades. Mm-hmm. As you said, they were bankrupt, and then they didn't have a lot of money afterwards. And you're also, Ticino clubs are a bit prone to shady investors. But since Joe Mansueto has taken over, it's going upwards, because one thing is that the sporting director in Chicago is Georg Heitz, who is a Swiss guy who was largely responsible for FC Basel's success between 2009 and 2017. Ooh. And he knows the Swiss market very well. And I don't want to shortcut here Carlos da Silva, who is now the sporting director in Lugano and works very closely with Georg Heitz. So those two are responsible for the recent successes. Obviously, there are more people, the coach, for example, all the stuff. But that's how they have been successful. And as I said, financially stable, because Joe Mansueto is not shy of investing money. For example, into a new stadium. He has said to be investing 29 million into a new stadium, and that's not the stadium will cost more, obviously. The city of Lugano will invest as well, but he himself has said that it will give 29 million for a new stadium, and they're currently rebuilding the Lugano Cornaredo Stadium.
Well, that's interesting. But that's something I've noticed a lot in Swiss football. It's also in Belgium, it has happened a lot in the 2000s and stuff, that the clubs go bankrupt and then get reformed, go back up. You've seen it also with Glasgow Rangers, with Borussia Dortmund. In Turkey, we see it rarely. I think some of our clubs probably wouldn't be in a bad situation if they actually did that, because, yeah, you go bankrupt, but that allows you to restructure everything, get rid of the debt. It's interesting how often that happens in Switzerland. They seem to be pretty strict when it comes to allowing clubs in the top flight, and also with the stadiums and stuff. Like, if the stadium doesn't adhere to the standards, clubs are basically forced to build new stadiums as well, right?
We do have a licensing system, mm-hmm. which is led by the league. You have to fulfill certain criteria in terms of infrastructure. You have to have, for example, you have to have bright enough lights for a TV production. You have to have a financial guarantees that in case if you're making debts, that someone is covering for said debt. And if you don't fulfill those criteria, you're not getting a license for Super League or the Challenge League, and which means you cannot play in those leagues.
Yeah, they should have something. I'm sure they have that in Turkey as well, but they should really have something similar to that. The Turkish pitches sometimes when teams come up are just horrible. Let's move onwards to FC Lugano's key players. You already highlighted one earlier, but who are the most talented players? Who should we watch out for? Who are the experienced leaders of the team and all that jazz?
They have some very interesting young players, like Jan Celar as a striker. He's a center forward. He was in transfer rumors constantly this summer. Bundesliga sides have taken a look at him. Serie A sides have taken a look at him. Then there is the probably well-known Renato Steffen, Swiss international, not a young talent anymore, but he played at Wolfsburg, he played for Basel, for Young Boys, and for the Swiss national team recently at the World Cup. I mentioned Ignacio Aliseta. Funnily enough, he only scores goals away from home, so
That's never a bad thing to have, a player that likes to score
exactly,
away.
Exactly. Yeah, so maybe take a look at him when he's playing in Istanbul. And then in midfield, there is Uran Bislimi, who has been called up for the national team again and has made his first appearance a couple of months ago. A young Swiss central midfielder. And in defense, they currently have some injuries, although the one that I want to highlight is Lars Lucas May. He came from Bayern Munich a season ago, has been injured for the last 6 months, but is now on the track back to the starting 11. So these are the key players. Most of them are around the age of 23, 24, with the exception of Steffen. They've also recently lost another key player, Mohamed Amoura. He went from Lugano to Saint-Gilloise, which was funny because Saint-Gilloise was the opponent of Lugano in the Europa League qualifying games. And they agreed to do the transfer after the registration period for those two games, so that Amoura didn't have to play against his former team. Yeah, those are more or less the key players. There's also Mattia Botani, a proper Di Cinese guy, a proper Italian-speaking player, also has been called up to the national team. He's been at the club for a long time with a stint at the second division club, but he's now back at the club for a couple of years. So those are more or less the key players at the moment. As I said, they have a lot of young players and a lot of players who get their first experience in men's football right now. So they probably won't play against Beşiktaş, but they get some minutes here and there in the championship.
Oh, interesting. So a very young side overall. And how? What's the coach's style like? What's the play style of the team? How does he utilize them? How do Lugano usually line up?
It is a very opponent-depending playing style. So if they play a bigger opponent, they do have the people or the players to play well, to play their own style of football against the bigger opponents. But he's usually in quick transitions, not a high pressing side, but quick transitions with their fast wing players, and they sit rather deep. Also, some key elements are both fullbacks who bomb forward and try to get involved into attacking sequences. So, in general, it is a possession-based football, but with quick transitions.
Okay, so kind of the football that Bishop like to play.
Yeah, it could be an interesting game.
And how do I pronounce his name? Crocitorti?
Crocitorti.
Crocitorti, okay. Ah, he's, like with the Italian, okay.
Yes, exactly. He's from the region of Lugano, so ah. He was the assistant manager of the former manager there, and when they when the new investors came in, they promoted him to coach, and he's a boy from the region, and you saw this when they won the cup in his first season. He was sitting on the bench crying because of joy and all the overwhelming emotions that he felt being a Ticinese guy winning the cup for FC Lugano. He's a very emotional coach, a very active coach on the sidelines, and still a very young coach. I think he's among the more talented coaches in Switzerland right now, and I could see him make maybe someday make a step to Italy or another bigger league than Switzerland.
So with the Turkish atmospheres and Beşiktaş in particular being very famous in Europe, do you think with a young team, young coach, how do you think they will cope with that pressure? It's, I believe the last game is away in Lugano, so they'll have to come to Istanbul first. How do you see them coping with that?
That's a good question. I don't know. He's coped well with the pressure of a cup final. I just saw that the game in Istanbul is on October 5, so that's the second game of the group stage here, right? So he has coped well with it in cup finals. So it's not that he crumbled under the pressure, not at all. So I think he will be fine. By the way, when you say they come to Switzerland or they play in Switzerland, Lugano will not play in Lugano. They will play in Zurich. Yeah. Because their stadium is not allowed to be played in UEFA competitions. But as soon as the new stadium is built, obviously they will be playing really at home.
That's a real shame as well, because I also, at the end of the show, I like to ask the guests about potential city trips for fans who plan to travel. And it would have been really interesting to hear about the city of Lugano, because you know, it being with in the Italian region, so to speak. Zurich, we can talk about that as well, of course. There are no former encounters, as I already said, between these two sides. I'm very curious to see really how they will handle the atmosphere in Turkey, because I don't think there's a lot of clubs in Switzerland that hold 40,000, right? Like Basel and Young Boys. I don't think they have... How big are their stadium capacities?
Basel is around 36, Young Boys around 30,000. So there aren't that big of crowds here in Switzerland, but I think it's obvious that the noise is more problematic than the size of the crowd. I think
just ask Timo Werner.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's the bigger problem. But I think overall they will do fine. They're led by experienced players like Stefan and Botani and Jonathan Sabatini, the captain who's been at Lugano forever. So I think they'll do fine.
They sound like a very well-structured club, actually, when you describe it. And like I like it. Like a local, lots of local kids, local coach. A club that seems to have an ownership that treats them with dignity and respect and not just like a cow to milk. It sounds like a really well-run club. I'm looking forward to these encounters with them. I'm sure they're a great side. And also they play in black and white, so we have something in common there, of course. So finally, what are your expectations for the groups? Where do you think Lugano will finish?
I'm not very optimistic, I have to say. Bodo Glimt, very strong side. Have played well against much bigger teams than them. Besiktas, obviously, I was lucky enough to have seen them live in Istanbul in April against Giresun. Very impressive, also the stadium, the atmosphere. I was slightly disappointed, but then someone explained to me that the atmosphere is 100 times better when you play Fenerbahce or Galatasaray, which I can understand, obviously.
I think for me personally, the social media era has played a lot of roles. Like, people are sitting with their phones, it's not like it was 20 years ago when people were all, you know, chanting 90 minutes. Now it's just, they sit on their hands a lot because they're on their phones fiddling, they're filming, they're making pictures, stuff like that. I really feel like that has had an impact on Turkish culture, fan culture in general.
Yeah, it's possible. But then again, due to those, or thanks to those with a phone, you can translate that atmosphere to the outside. So there is a win or a plus and a minus point for this, a positive and a negative. But overall, it was a very, very fun game, and I was still happy with the atmosphere that I was able to enjoy.
I think that ended 1-1, didn't it?
No, 3-1.
3-1, okay. I remember us having a draw against Giresun where I was just kicking myself. It might have been the season before.
No, it was, who was it? Vincent Aboubakar who scored
you saw
twice.
Yeah, okay. You saw him scoring live.
Yes, I did.
He does not score normal goals, does he?
Yes. Yeah, I think the one goal was quite kind of special. The other one was a penalty.
Yeah, that's literally what he does. Either bangers or penalties. He doesn't score a lot of penalties because we don't get that many. But it's really that. Like I can't recall. Like he's been. This is his third stint at the club, and this will be his fourth season. I don't remember a single tap-in. Like he just, that's me, not necessarily a good thing, by the way, because you want your striker to score a couple of tap-ins now and then as well. But he just scores phenomenal goals. I don't know if you saw the one he scored against Dynamo Kiev.
Remember.
Yeah, I'll send it to you later. He just sent, you know, the one he scored, it was ridiculous. He receives the ball between three players and then just dribbles them and... Yeah, crazy. Anything that you would like to say about fans that might be thinking of making the trip to Switzerland and go to the match in Zurich? Anything you can recommend to them?
I think we were still in where do I see Lugano finishing
the
group.
Oh yeah, sure.
I'm sorry for all those at Lugano and their fans, but I cannot see them finish better than fourth.
Okay.
With an extra effort, maybe they can have a draw or maybe even a win here and there. But
all it takes is one away win, one good game. I think, you know, our common friend Aurelia, I think he described them as being a little bit of a modern Catenaccio. But that doesn't really sound like it with your description.
No. They are hard to play against when they're at home.
Yeah.
But it has nothing to do with Catenaccio. They try to play their own game. It's
That's
not
good.
Like they're having 27 players at the back and one up front. That's not the case.
So not like a Turkish Anatolian team.
No, not at all. To experience, I mean, you will be in Zurich, a city well known, if you want to make the trip to Lugano. Unfortunately, it takes a bit longer if you go by train nowadays because the Gotthard tunnel has been blocked due to an accident or will be blocked for a lot longer. So Lugano is a beautiful city. It's almost like a paradise. It's sunny down there, the palm trees. Close to Italy, you can get to Milan within an hour, I believe.
Sounds like a real loss to the Conference League that's not a destination, really.
Yeah, at least to away fans. Yeah,
for sure.
Zurich, go to the FIFA Museum, go to the Zurich Zoo, go to Lake Zurich if it's still warm. Visit FIFA headquarters. There is so much to do. You won't get bored, I promise you, if you're in Zurich.
And any local cuisine you can recommend?
Yeah, there's this dish called Zürich Schnitzel, which is basically with minced veal, mm-hmm. with a sauce, and then rösti, which is kartoffeln.
Kartoffels. That's potatoes, I think, right?
Yeah, exactly. Basically, grilled potato squash. Rösti is very well known outside of Switzerland as well, so some people will know it by that name.
Okay, well, thank you, Oliver. I've taken up enough of your time. Thank you so much for graciously coming onto the show again and telling us all about FC Lugano. Tell us where people can find you on social media, where they can follow you.
Yeah, I'm more or less on every social media that there is, but mostly on Twitter under the handle at @AULIT_Z. And I'm also on Instagram and on every other social media. So follow me. I'm happy to follow back if there's interesting content.
Well, thank you very much. And a man to my own heart who pronounces the Z as Z, because that's how you're supposed to say it.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Black Eagles podcast. Of course, listen to our other episodes focusing on Club Brugge and Bodo Glimt, or other opponents in the Europa Conference League. And until next time, go Besiktas!
Ortayı yaptı. Sikti. Gol. 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 Maç boyunca durdu, şimdi attı. Abubakar attı. Abubakar. Abubakar. Abubakar.